bit of a sad week for the club with the passing of Frank Gosser. Just how has he touched the group, and how much of the build-up will be about his life and going into this big game?
Yeah, I think it's important that especially our more recent players and staff get a good understanding of the influence that Frank had. I think it says something at least that Frank hasn't been our president for over 10 years, but he's still so central to everything that it is, or everything that we like about the Geelong Footy Club and the Geelong region as well. So we'll do everything we can to make sure that that's understood and that legacy lives on forever if possible. And I'm sure it will within the region as it relates to the people that actually knew him and had interactions with him, but I think it'll extend further than that. So, I've said it already this week, but Colin Carter took over as president when I came in at the end of 2010. But I think both of us would say that it was very much Frank's legacy and the things that he built in terms of the values at the Geelong Footy Club that were foremost in our mind as coach and new president to continue on. So things like character over talent, you know, family first, do the right thing. Integrity means you do what you say you're going to do, even if it's at your own personal cost. Those sort of things are important for footy clubs, but they're also important for your life as well, and we'll never forget them.
Chris, do you have memories of your first meeting with Frank? As you said, the crossover happened between Frank and Colin, but I suspect Frank was a bit hands-on when you were appointed.
Yeah, he was, and he's been a patron in the time since, but yeah, I remember it vividly. And the first thing Frank talked about was my mum. Which again, it's not something I feel comfortable talking about in my private life in this public setting. I'm speaking about it in the context of what was important to Frank. And he had a view, having seen and heard my mum speak a couple of times, that I was from a good family. He might have been guessing a little bit there. He said some nice things about my mum, which endeared me to him straight away. And I think, irrespective of what he said, he always had a way of endearing himself to the people he met, even when he was being firm with them. You know, it's a very rare trait to be able to give people bad news and have them come away thinking better of you.
Have you impressed on the young Americans? Some of those values, do you mean that this week you'll speak about it, or just as a general kind of...
Yeah, I think it's more a general philosophical thing. I think it's something that I'm always wary of using situations like these as short-term inspirational hooks. And this is much, much bigger than that. This is just part of the fabric of our footy club and something that needs to be understood by not only the people that have gone before, but the people that are going to come in to our footy club, because this has been true for 20-odd years. It's not just because Frank's passed that all of a sudden it's occurred to us. This is a part of, you know, that there will be... We're custodians of the footy club at the moment. There will be people that come in subsequent to us that will do things differently, and that's their right. But there are some things that Frank's put in place that should never change. And that's the part that I think needs to be understood.
Big game this week, obviously.
We need to do it thoroughly. I think the whole competition's still trying to crack the code. I think the theory around how to play Richmond, I think, would be well understood. It's the execution that's much, much harder. They're clearly still the benchmark, even with some important players out. They've been able to show that their system stands up. And I think that's probably been their mantra for a little while, that they play a style of game where they would like Martin in a certain position, or Prestia or Cochin, but other guys can come in and fulfil those roles, you know, if not quite as well, then well enough to really trouble the opposition. So, obviously, being a grand final rematch, it's there's a bit of theatre in that side of things, but that's not really influencing our approach. It's more... you're playing the best team in the competition, so we've got to make sure that, you know, our preparation's first class, and We get everything as close to right as possible. And even then, it doesn't guarantee you that you win the game. You know, but you've got to give yourself a chance against them. Because if you hand the game to them and have it played the way they want it to be played, no one can go with them.
I don't have the numbers, Chris, but it feels like in recent years your team has always managed to find a different level against the really quality teams. Is that a fair observation? Do you think that's something... Have you picked up on anything similar during the lead-up so far this week?
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I think intuitively that makes sense. I haven't got the data to support it. But, yeah, I'd like to think that we have been, or at least we aspire to be a team that works to find their best when it really counts. Now, in final series, especially against Richmond, we haven't quite been able to do that. But it's not as if we haven't been able to do it within periods of games. So I think most times we've played them, we've had a really good look. 2019, mid-year, we had a really good game against them. You know, it's unusual to beat a Richmond team by 65 or 70 points, whatever it was. And then they've just been too good for us in the subsequent meetings, but not for 100% of the game. So there are some parts there that we look at and say, OK, well, when we get the game on our terms, the next part is how do we make sure that we finish the job? And again, that's so easy to say. The theory is easy. The planning's actually relatively easy against Richmond. It tends to be against the best sides because their exposed form and for a long period of time is so clear. When you play, I think in general, going way back, the Brisbane teams, the Geelong teams, the Hawthorn teams, now the Richmond teams, they just play their system. And there aren't too many secrets there. Everyone knows the way Martin plays. Everyone knows the way they set up. They've done it so well for 4 years. So that part will be clear to us. Now, how you actually go about trying to mitigate that and focus on your strengths is a bit more of a question. But even then, it pales into insignificance compared to the actual execution on the night. But that's exciting. And that's probably our focus, that it's a privilege to be a part of these games. It's exciting to get the chance against them. I think we should go out and play with some freedom. It's not saying that we've got nothing to lose. That's a silly notion in my view. But a lot of teams will lose to Richmond this year. So in the context of the competition, even if they do get on top of us, you're not really losing one to the comp. We play them twice, so in a way we are. But again, I want to dispel the notion that, we'll go and have a crack, but if it doesn't work out, we'll be okay with it. We think that we're building our game to the point where we can compete with teams like these. So that's exciting.
There's no easy answer to the question of getting to stop Dustin Martin, but two guys who might have been in line to potentially play in Mark O'Connor and Jake Colajazzi. O'Connor's obviously going to miss. Where's Jake at?
Yeah, Jake's not quite right. Yeah. I've got to try to work out whether he might have been right, but just not quite right for this week, which I could understand. No, he's still a couple of weeks away, probably. But you're right, that would have been two likely matchups for us. And without going back over old ground too much, if you look at the game closely last time we played, Colajazzi, and this happens with Martin a lot, you do a great job 8 out of 10 times. It's a 2 out of 10 where he just slaughters you that are hard for anyone to stop.
You say that Richmond is still the benchmark. So do you trial anything different in a situation that you meet them further down the track in finals, even on the grand final?
We'll try some different things. There's no doubt about that. We've taken some calibrated shots at them but haven't quite locked on the target right at the moment. So that's part of the code we're trying to crack. I doubt we'll 100% get there this week, and we play them later on in the season, so I suspect both teams will be different in terms of personnel. The game might have evolved a little bit, but I think each time we play them, we learn something. It's, okay, well, they can be really simple things, like if you could find a way to stop Dustin Martin, it'd help. And then there's some nuance in there as well with the way they play.
Did you address the last, I suppose, 3 minutes of the game against Sydney, and then the disappointment, and then I suppose the AFL coming out and saying that the umpire got it wrong with your players?
Well, we didn't really address the umpiring side of things because it happens. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Hardest game in the world to umpire, high pressure stakes, slightly obscured view, got to make a decision in a split second. You know, even the couple of there were more than just that one in the last few minutes that I think they'd kind of like back. But that's the game we're in, isn't it? When you're in a position, so players, coaches, umpires are in that position where the heat of the moment, the split second decision, can sometimes define or be the difference between a good game and a poor game. But I think as a footy club, you accept that it swings around about, so you can move on that from that pretty quickly. I was really neither here nor... I guess it would have been disappointing if the AFL tried to justify it. But I'd be OK if they just said nothing. But again, I'm not in the position. I've got respect for those people. I think they do a good job. I think, as I said, it's the hardest game in the world to umpire. I just think we should accept that mistakes happen and get on with it. But the 3 or 4 minutes for us, there are things we could have done better as well. I thought we executed reasonably well. Like to get the shot with 90 seconds to go and 4 points down or whatever it was 2 points down was a credit to us. There's a few little bits at the margin that we'd like to do better, but that's a process we go through every week. This is the scenario, 90 seconds to go, 2 points down. Is this the way we want to set up? What could be different? I think we did that pretty thoroughly and we didn't get the 4 points, but we'll still be better for the experience.
Do you think it's needed that the AFL comes out and says that the umpire made a mistake, or it's not fair on the umpire?
I think we should support umpires as much as we possibly can. And that doesn't extend to fans not getting frustrated with decisions at all, because we're all human. Coaches are the same, players are the same in that respect as well. I'm going to dodge the question a little bit because I don't think it really matters what I think the AFL should do. I think in this industry we're all highly accountable, and I think it's a good principle that the people that are most accountable also get the most amount of support.
Sounds like the AFL's going to be moving back to naming teams on a Thursday night at some stage soon. Is there anything sort of stopping your club from doing that? How do you feel about that possibility?
Well, if the AFL tell us we have to do it, we'll do it. Yeah, there's no room for equivocation there. But what I will say is so much happens in the 48 hours pre-game. So we're give or take 48 hours from our game. And if you ask me about selection, I can give you an honest answer and it will still change probably because we've still got to train tomorrow. So at least as far as we're concerned, I'll be up front. If we name a team 48 hours before, it's a guide. Because if we name a player out, we can't bring him back in. So we're probably going to name them. And I reckon of all the games, it was passed on to me that of all the games this year, there's been one late change. Because the teams were named 24 hours beforehand and there was more certainty. If they go back, which it seems as if they are, there'll be lots of late changes. And that is our right. And that's our responsibility. So if it's been thought through and that's the way they want to go... we don't get a say in it, but I think we should explain what it's going to look like. We haven't made a late change for a long time, but if we name the team 48 hours out, we will.
Chris, you're not averse to debuting youngsters in big games. Nick Stevens was your carryover last week, which is without an indication he's close. Is he with a vacancy opening up with Grime? I know it's different roles, but is it one you're looking at for this week?
Yeah, Nick's progressing really well, but... he's more a defender, and there were some complicating factors last week with our VFL team being up in Sydney. So I don't think it should be read as Nick being the next one in necessarily. But we're happy with his progress. With the small forward going out this week, it's more likely it'll be a small forward type that comes in.
The risk of he missed the RS game, but is Asava close?
Yeah, we're really, really happy with the way he's responded post that little bit of a groin issue, which just seems to be one of those anomalies that is hard to explain. He was training really well only a couple of days post and got the training and match practicing up in Sydney that we were hoping to get into him. So, yeah, he's back in the frame.
So, do you see him as a ruckman or as a second ruckman playing forward?
We're open to both those possibilities. I think there is scope for him to develop into a genuine ruckman who can play forward, but I think that probably speaks to the fact that if we think that's a possibility, then we're almost certain that he's at least a backup ruckman who can play forward.
Just
With Reece, he spent a fair bit of the last quarter off the ground against Sydney. Is that more to do with the way that Hickey was playing? Or I think he might have been down on rotations. He might have been out a few left. And I guess as a
We're a bit tight.
Yeah, so as a follow-up to that, Darcy Ford played quite well again in the VFL. Is he in the mix of potentially coming this week?
Yeah, we're starting to get to the point where we have a group of ruckmen available that we can actually choose from, as opposed to three guys where we like that we're sure could do the job, but them just being either short on match practice or coming back from injury and that sort of thing. So they're closer to being sort of on level pegging when it comes to availability. And last week, when you are tight on rotations, one or two players have to sit for a little bit longer, and they tend to be taller players because the risk is if you have them on, you can be a bit cumbersome in your forward half in particular.
Sean Higgins play out for this
week? He's in the mix. So again, if we had to pick the team tonight, we'd pick him. And then who knows what can happen after that.
You're
saying
you're always
up to
theatre when it comes to a grand final rematch, but would this match be
a
better service
the season opener? Oh, Sarah, I wasn't expecting that one. Let me answer it in a mischievous way. For a long time, Hawthorn were the best team in the competition, and Geelong had the misfortune of being locked into playing them twice a year when you only play five teams twice. I suspect if we were locked in to play Richmond, it's a guarantee we're going to get them twice. But if it's a grand final replay, so take Geelong out of it, that makes a bit of sense. But I don't want to get into the political stuff around choosing games and whether every team should get 11 home games at their preferred venue, that sort of thing. I think we know what's right and what's not, don't we? Can I laugh so you know it's a joke?